Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah daf Chaf Ches, right? Chaf Ches, yeah. We left off on daf Chaf Zayinam Beis. We are at the second very wide line on daf Chaf Zayinam Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also dedicated in honor of Dr. Avi Freilich by his children. It's also sponsored by Esther and David Haber, in memory of Esther's mother, Miriam Bas Esther, Vishmuel Shlomo, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So again, we're holding at the second wide line on Daf Chav Zayin and Beis, and from there all the way through the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Aleph is going to be a series of Bameha Arachta Yamim, where Talmidim of various Amorayim asked them, seven different Amorayim asked, and Tanayim and Amorayim asked them what they did in order to be Zocha to Arichos Yamim. So that's going to take us all the way till the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss on the bottom of Amud Aleph, if you have a Beis HaKnesses Shecharav, what are you allowed to do in it? How much of its Kedusha does it retain? The Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis HaBatei Kneios Shebebavel or Al Tanayin Asuyin, that there's a condition built into their Kedusha. We're going to have to discuss the Gedarim exactly of that condition that we build in. The Gemara is going to talk about using a Beis HaKnesses in order as a shortcut, using a Beis HaKnesses in order to protect you from the rain to go in when it's raining. What do you do if you have to go get someone from a shul or a Beis Medrash? So are you allowed to just go in to call them out, or do you have to do something once you're in there? And then the Gemara is going to talk about being mishtamish with the Talmud Chacham, that using a Talmud Chacham to provide for your personal needs, and what the parameters of that are, and whether it makes a difference whether he's just someone who learned or also someone who teaches as well. So let's begin again at the second wide line on Daf Chav Zayin and Beis. Shalu Talmidav is Rabbi Zakkai. The first person that they ask of the seven is that they ask Rabbi Zakkai, B'meh Arach Yamim, what did you do to be Zocha Tarichus Yamim? Samalam, Yamay Lo Shanti Mayim B'toch Dal Ramos Shal Tfila. He said, I never urinated within Dal Ramos of Tfila, which is the last halacha we were discussing. That's what leads us into this whole discussion of all the B'meh Arach Yamim. It's because that was the very first answer of the very first person that they asked, was that he was careful to separate his Tfila from when he had to take care of his needs. V'lo Kinisi Shem L'Chaveirei. And the second thing that I did was that I didn't call anybody by a nickname. If you look at Tosos, he writes Afilu Kinui Delavi Gnai, not even by a derogatory, by a non-derogatory nickname. Vada Amrinan Damachan Hashem L'Chaveru Ein L'Chel Kolam Haba Hayne B'Kinui Shel Pegam Mishpacha. When you say that if someone's Machan Hashem L'Chaveru, he doesn't have a Chel Kolam Haba, which would be really, it's a terrible thing. That's where he says a Kinui that suggests the Pegam in the Mishpacha, where he says something very, very insulting that would call into question the whole Yichus of the Mishpacha. But Stam a nickname. That's what he was saying, that he was Zocha Tarichus Yamim. He wouldn't even refer to people with Stam a nickname, because that's the struggle all the Rishonim have over here. All of these Hanhagos that we're going to learn about, many of them seem to be just halacha. Many of them seem to be requirements. So that's why you're Zocha Tarichus Yamim. You just live like a basic Jew that follows the rules. So that's what the Rishonim are going to struggle with. Those that sound like they're basic requirements, we have to figure out how it's not just a basic requirement, how it's more than that. And then he said, Lo Bitalti Kiddush Hayom. I was never vatel the mitzvah of kiddush. How careful was I about kiddush hayom? Ima zekena isali, an elderly mother, pamachas machar kippa shabarosha veivili kiddush hayom. One time she sold the scarf of her head in order to be able to buy me wine for kiddush hayom. That's how makbid I was about kiddush. Doesn't sound so much like he was so makbid about kiddush. Sounds like his mother was very makbid about kiddush. But obviously she understood that's how much it meant to him, that it was worthwhile for her to sell the scarf off of her head in order to provide him with Kiddush Hayom. So it must be that it was something that he was extremely makbid about. And the point is, beyond what the halacha requires being makbid about. Okay, you'll be yotzei with Kiddush and Tefillah if you can't afford yayin for Kiddush Hayom. But Elamai, you see that he was very makbid about it. So Tanu Kishamesa, when his mother died, he nichalo gimel meol skar beyayin. She was saying, had so much wine, she left him 300 barrels full of wine as Yerusha. And Kishamesa, who? And when he died, that had expanded to the point that their wine business had expanded or their wine collection had expanded, that Iniach Lebanav Shlosh Esalafim Garbeyayin, that he left for his children 3,000 Garbeyayin. So the Rashba explains that his care and concern for Kiddush Hayom is more than was obviously much more than the Chiyuv, because you could be Mekadesh Alapas, meaning Friday night if you don't have wine. So Allah Halachim Freshes and Shulchan Aruch, you say Kiddush on bread, but he was Machmir to always be Machmir to have wine, even if it was very expensive. And the Ein Eliyahu, he suggests that he could have been Yotzei Yischiyu from listening to other people, Shomea Kona, when it comes to Kiddush. But he, Dafka, wanted to make Kiddush with his own wine, because Mitzvah Bo, Yosem Mibishlucho. That's a question. Is that really true, that Mitzvah Bo, Yosem Mibishlucho? That's a machlokas in the Achronim. When a person has the opportunity to hear Kiddush from someone else, or to say Kiddush themselves, you're a guest at someone's house, and very often the host will say, would you like to say your own Kiddush? So what is the correct answer to that question? Would you like to say your own Kiddush, or is it better to listen to the host? So it's machlokas haposkim. Some of the poskim say mitzvah bo, Yosem Mibishlucho, better to do it yourself rather than be Yotzei through someone else. Others say, what does it got to do with Shlichos? This isn't Shlichos. Shlichos, you send someone to do a mitzvah for you that when you're not even there. It doesn't even work for Kiddush. You can't send someone to do a mitzvah for you when you're not even there. It's working through Shomea Ka'ones. Shomea Ka'ones. So Barova Madras Melech, like we saw just yesterday. Barova Madras Melech, better to have the Kiddush recited by one person with a larger crowd. So that's a discussion in Poskim. In Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like you don't need to be mimashkin yourself for Kiddush Hayom. And he was machmir to that extent that he would give up of other items that he had for the sake of yayin for Kiddush Hayom. Rav Huna have asa rita v'kai kamei d'rav. Rav Huna would wear this belt made out of grass, made out of reeds, and he stood in front of Rav. So Amar Lei, my high. Rav said, "What's with your belt?" Amar Lei, lo havali chamra v'kiddusha mashkati le'minayi v'asayi be'kiddusha. He said, "I didn't have enough wine for Kiddush. I had to sell my belt in order to have wine for Kiddush, and that's why I put together this makeshift belt out of reeds or out of grass." It should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should be covered in silk, in the nicest clothing. So when Rabba, his son, got married, Rabba Bray, Rav Huna got married, Rav Huna inish gutzava. So an important detail in the story was Rav Huna happened to have been a very very short man. So Gana Apuri, he was lying on a bed, and because he was so short, he couldn't tell that there was a person on the bed. So Asin Binte Bekalse, his daughters and his daughters-in-law came, Shalchem Shadim Menayu Elayu, They threw their silk scarves on the bed, their silk kerchiefs on the bed, just to put it down somewhere. But they didn't realize they were throwing it on top of him, and he was lying there, adiitus b'shirai, till he was totally covered with this silk cloth. And that was a fulfillment of the bracha that he got from Rav. So Shama Rav heard about this ma'isa, v'ikbid, and he got upset. Amar ma'itayim elu amatali, ki b'richticha v'chein lamar. How come when I gave you the bracha, you didn't say v'chein lamar? Apparently my bracha is so powerful that if you would have boomeranged it right back to me, you know, it would have been a nice thing to say v'chein lamar. Binyamin Pam told me that his grandfather used to say that when he would give people a bracha, he would ask them to say v'chein lamar, probably based on this gemara. But he said he didn't want them to say their own bracha because he was a kohen, and when you say v'chein lamar, what you're giving back is the bracha that the person just gave to you. So it empowers the Yisrael to give a birchas kohanim back to the kohen. So if a kohen gives a bracha, you say v'chein lamar. It's ki'ilu you're giving him back the bracha, the power of a bracha of a kohen. So that's why it's appropriate to say v'chein lamar. So he said, if you would have said v'chein lamar back to me, then maybe I would have then maybe I would have been zocha to the kiyum of this bracha, because it was such a powerful bracha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden raises the question: Why does the Gemara have to mention that he was a short guy? The Gemara in the Darim sounds like that Rabbi Yehuda was makvid about a woman that said about Shmuel that yadanale degutzuhu, that we know that he was a short person, and they put her in nidui for saying such a thing. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that because it's trying to tell us why he didn't say v'chein lamar, because Rav was a very tall person. Rav was aruch bedoro haya, the Gemara says in Maseches Nida. He was the tallest guy, and Rav Huna was choshesh to respond v'chein lamar, because if he's mekayim the bracha like he was mevarich Rav Huna, it's not even going to cover half of his body. Meaning, if what you're saying to me that I should have silk clothing covering my whole body, I say v'chein lamar, you're going to be wearing shorts and sleeves that are too short on you, it's not going to be appropriate. It's a funny line. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. Okay, a second story. A second Amora. Shalot Talmid Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Ve'me arach to yam. They ask him, what are we zoch at Tarichas Yam for? Amalehem, mi yamei lo asisi kapandari le Beis HaKnesses. I never made the Beis HaKnesses into a shortcut. Never cut through Beis HaKnesses in order to get from one place to the other. Ve'lo psati al Rosh Yam Kodesh. Second thing I did is I never stepped over the heads of the Jewish people. Rashi explains, k'shayu ha-talmidim be-beis ha-medrash al-gabi karka, the talmidim would sit on the ground in the beis ha-medrash, ha-holich al-gabi mitzivasan, le-shiv l-mekamu, near k'psel Rosh Ha'am. When you go to your seat and you're walking through the crowd, it looks like you're stepping on everybody's head. So essentially, it's a way of saying that I got there first. I got to my seat, so I never had to go through the crowd where it made it look like I was disrespecting all the people. V'lo nasasi kapay b'lo bracha, and I never did see us kapayim without reciting a bracha first. So lonasasi kapai below bracha doesn't seem like such a big chumra to not say a bracha. The Ritva raises the question: what's the chasidus and the gadlus in that? It sounds like the bracha is a chiyuv for every kohen who's mevarich to say a bracha. That's the Gemara in Sota Daf Lametes. So he says that's what he's trying to tell us, that every kohen is mevarich is misbarich and marich yamim, meaning that ain't a chinami. It's a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv that has a segula of arichus yamim associated with it. So meaning, as we said before, all of these hanhagos, we have to figure out what they're doing special, different than everybody else. So most of them, yeah, maybe it is something beyond the halacha. But sometimes, even there are certain halachas, there are certain mitzvahs, there are certain requirements that have a school of arichus yamim. So they're asking, what is the school of arichus yamim? So that's what that's what the Ritva suggests, that maybe this has a school of arichus yamim. Turi Evan says that maybe they were never masakin the bracha before Nesias Kapayim initially, and Reb Lazar was the one that was masakin the bracha before Nesias Kapayim, meaning the bracha is say bracha Hashem Yishmerecha v'chule, but maybe to the bracha, the bracha mitzvah prior to Nesias Kapayim, maybe he was the one that was misaking the bracha. And he says it sounds that way from the Gemara in Sota Daf Lametes, that after Reb Lazar says miyamel nesaskab blo bracha, the Gemara says my mevarich. The follow up question the Gemara says when it raises this very issue, my mevarich. Oh yeah, what bracha did he say? What do you mean what bracha did he say? He said the bracha that you say before Birkas Kohanim. Elamai, he was the one that was misaking the bracha, and therefore the Gemara asks my mevarich. The Marsha says that there is a havamina that a kohen doesn't have to say a bracha because this mitzvah is for the good of Klal Yisrael, that the bracha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu should be chal on them. So it's not really for the kohen; it's not really for his sake that he's saying the bracha. He's saying it for the sake that he's being mevarich Klal Yisrael. He's saying it for their sake. So maybe he shouldn't have to recite a bracha beforehand. Kamash Mulan, that no, he's doing a mitzvah, and therefore we have to recite a birchsa mitzvah prior to doing the mitzvah. A third amor that they have, Shalom Talmidim Rabbi Preda, they asked Rabbi Preda, b'me'a rach to yamim, what did you do to be zochet arichus yamim? Amar lehem rather, miyamei lo kidmani adam lebeis ha-medrash. No one ever got to the beis ha-medrash before me. V'lo birachti lefnei kohen. I never said a bracha before a kohen. I never took precedence over a kohen in a bracha. V'lo achalti mibehema shalohum rumatnus sen. I never ate from a behema that the matnus kuna were not taken from the behema. Going back to the first of his hanhagos was that no one ever got to the beis ha-medrash before me. So Tosus raises the question that adrabba, it was b'zchus that they ask him, you want to live 400 years, or you want your entire generation to be zok b'talim abba? So at the end of the story, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nadal, it says that they gave him both, that he lived for a very long time because he had so much patience that he sat and learned with the Talmud 100 times till the Talmud was able to get it through his head, till he was able to understand the shir that he was giving him. So that isn't that why he was zocha tarichus yamim? So it says tells the Yeshlomid Meikar Lo Yadakein Ad L'Besov Sharah Shachayu Kol Kach. Maybe there was a different understanding at a certain point exactly why he was zocha to the arichus yamim. But someone sent me Daniel Bloom sent me a message last night that from one of the svarim that no, maybe that was at cool for the point. I mean, he says Lo Kidmani Adam Besamad. Meaning he was such a masmid, he was so makbid about every second of his time, he was so makbid about every moment of his time, and still he took the time to sit and explain to the Talmud 400 times. Meaning, if it's someone who's not doing anything all day anyway, so it does still reflect a lot of patience to explain to the Talmud 400 times. But the godless of this was that his time was so valuable, and he treated his time as so valuable, and nevertheless, he still spent all that time with the Talmud. So it says the Gemara, "Dam Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asa Lechem Mibehema Shlom Rum Matnus Sayi." You're not allowed to eat from a behema that the Matnus Kuna are not taken from. Rabbi Yitzchak Alochem Mibehema Shlom Rum Matnus Sayi. Kilu Ochel Tevelim. If you do so, it says if you're eating tevel. Bless Ilchsa Kavasei. But we don't. It says the Gemara, we don't paskin that way. So the Ritva explains two reasons why la halacha when you don't take the Matanus from the behema, it's not considered to be tevel. Either because by tevel of truma where it's mixed in with all the dagan, it's not a particular grain, stalk of grain that is the truma. When it comes to the truma, all of it is potential truma. It's all tevel. But by the behema, the matnus kun and the behema are the zroa, the chayayim v'keva. They're a davar mesuyam. So when you eat the other meat, not the zroa, the chayayim v'keva, you're not really eating tevel because it's just the other meat. Meaning it's ki'ilu, it's already hufrash. It's kilu, it's already defined what the matanos are. And that's why we don't paskin that it's tevel. The other reason the Ritva says is the matanos are not kedoshim. They're mutter even for a zarim. It's just that it's gezel ashevet, meaning there are two dinim when you have truma. By truma, first of all, there's a dinim amenus issue, that you owe that truma to a kohen. But there's also an isser v'heter issue, that it's aser for a zar. A zar is chayv misa, it's aser for a zar to eat truma. When it comes to the matanos of a behemoth, the zroel chayim v'keva, it's a dinim amenus issue. But you don't have an iser for a zar to eat it. If the kohen wants to share it with his grandchildren or Yisraelim, gesuntayit, he's allowed to do that. There's no problem with that. So that's why it's not considered the same as eating tevel. When you have truma that wasn't taken from produce, that's real tevel. This is not tevel. So v'lo birakti lifnei kohen. He said that I never made a bracha in front of before a kohen. L'meimer d'mal. You see what? That's just a chum. That's just a nice maila. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, is that even a maila? V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Also, Talmud Chacham Chayiv Misa, that a Talmud Chacham should go before a Kohen. Meaning, why is this a Maila that he wasn't Mevarich Lufnei a Kohen? He should have been. A Talmud Chacham goes before a Kohen, even before a Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol is an Am Haaretz. And if he doesn't insist on going first, he's Chayiv Misa. Shenamar Kol Masanei Avum Aves. Al Tikri Masanei El Masniyai. Those who lower the stature of Rabbanim and of Talmidei Chachamim. And it causes people to think Talmidei Chachamim are low lives because they allow Amei Aretz to go in front of them. So it's not appropriate. A person has to uphold the covet of Talmidei Chachamim. So it says Marano Kikamer Ihu B'Shavin. When he said that he never went before a Kohen, it meant that if he was of an even stature with the Kohen, but Erechinami, if he was a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Kohen, then he would go before the Kohen. Go before the Kohen for what? So Rashi says B'Su'uda Lefnei Kohen, that when it comes to leading the benching, that this is not talking about Aliyos the Torah. It's talking about the Su'uda, leading the benching. So you would never go in front of before the Kohen if they were of similar stature. If you look at the end of the Taptosos, Rashi Pirush Tachamari Birchsam Mazon, Vachidam Mashmul Lishon Delo Birachti, Midelo Kamer Lo Karisi. He says it's very likely that it's not talking about Kriyas HaTorah because it says Lo Birachti. Lifnei Kohen. If it would have been about Kriyas HaTorah, it wouldn't have been Lo Birachti, it would have been Lo Karisi, that I never did the Kriyas HaTorah, because the guy who gets the Aliyah is really the one that's Mechuyav to be Kari B'Torah. So, and when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, they never had a Takana Mishum Darkei Shalom, that the Kohen has to be the one to lead. Whereas when it comes to Aliyos, to the Torah, be Mishum Darkei Shalom, people shouldn't be fighting over who's the bigger Talmud Chacham. They made him play Darkei Shalom, a Takana, that the Kohen always gets the first Aliyah, Levi always gets the second Aliyah. So in the top Tosos, on the top part of the top Tosos, he raises the question when he says that they were of even stature, and that's when he didn't go before the Kohen. Well, then, my Rabusa, well, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, you can let the Kohen go before you if you're of the same stature of the Kohen. Meaning the Gemara had asked, wait a second, are you allowed to let the Kohen go first? You're a Talmud Chacham, you should go before the Kohen. The Gemara says, no, the Kohen's a Talmud Chacham also. Well, then if the Kohen to Talmud Chacham, then why wouldn't he go first? Of course he should go first. Why is that a maila that you're letting the Kohen go first? So says Tosos, it doesn't mean literally shavin, that they were literally of the same stature. They weren't. The Rabbi Preda was of a higher stature, but the Kohen was also a Talmud Chacham. So that was the maila, that as long as the Kohen was somewhat of a Talmud Chacham, he let him go first. Okay, Amora number four. Shalom Talmidov Esha Minuchani Ben Akana. B'me'a Arach Yamin. Where were you Zocha Tarich Yamin with? So Amar Lahem. Yamai I never took honor in someone else's embarrassment. And I never went to sleep thinking bad about somebody else, with holding a grudge against somebody else. And vivatron b'mamoni, you see, I was generous with my money. So he gives examples of each. Ravuna was carrying a spade on his shoulder. Came and asked to carry it from him. If you normally carry it in where you're from, and this is not something that's beneath your dignity, it's something you do all the time, good, then you could do it. But otherwise, I'd rather you not carry my kelim for me, because I don't want you to have to suffer an indignity just because just for my honor. And the second thing, what does that mean? That he took on the hanhaga of Marzutra. When Marzutra would go to sleep, when he'd go to bed, he would say that he's mochel whoever had caused him trouble that day. So that's he'd be mochel everybody before he went to sleep. The Ritva raised the question that in Maseches Yuma, Daf Chav Gimel, said that a Talmud Chacham should not be so forgiving. A Talmud Chacham has to be nokem v'noter kenachash. So over here he's being mochel, he's not being nokem. So says the Ritva in Yuma, it's talking about someone who was chote kenegdo b'mili de shemaya, and so you have to punish the chotim. Over here it's talking about where it's not b'mili de shemaya, it's b'mili de day. Meaning, if the slight was to the Ribbono Shalom, the Talmud Chacham has to be nokem v'noter. It cannot be mochel the slight to the Ribbono Shalom. If the slight was to you, so then you should be mochel. Then you Talmud Chacham doesn't have to be nokem v'noter. In the Yifei Toar, he raises the question in Parshas Vayera that in Maseches Yuma the Gemara asks from the Na'alavim Veinam Olvim Shomu Charpasim Veinam Meshivim Va'onim that Aleim Akos V'Omer Va'ov Kitzes Hashemesh B'Gvuraso. So the Ritva, according to the Ritva, what's the Gemara's question over there? It's talking about Sarah Didei and not Mili D'Shemaya. So of course he has to be mochel. Why is the Gemara even raising it? So Ella must be that even when it comes to Kavod Atzmo, you see that you're not allowed to be mochel. So therefore the Yifei Toar says a different answer than the Ritva, that it has to be that you're mochel belibo beino l'shamayim in order that the person shouldn't be punished based on you. So deep in your heart you have to be mochel. But as far as what you show him, as far as what you demonstrate, it should look like nokem v'noter, so that he should know that he still has tshuva to do. But you should deep down you shouldn't hold any grudge, and you should daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't punish the person on your account. But that still makes the Talmud Chacham still has responsibility to make sure the person does tshuva, and that's what it means nokem v'noter. So that's how the Yifei Toar writes in Parshas Vayera. Vatr Moni, see, what does it mean that he was generous with his money? Damar Mar, Iyo Vatr Moni Hava, Shei Maniach Pruta L'chan V'nimi Moni. That Iyov used to tell the storekeeper to keep the change. So that's what it means, that he was generous with his money, that he wasn't makbid about every last penny. The fifth Tana, Shal Rabbi Kivas Rabbi Nechunya Agadol. They asked Rabbi Nechunya Agadol, B'me'a Rachti Yamim, Asu Gavzi V'kamachulei. So right away his Talmidim, his helpers, his attendants started beating up Rabbi Akiva, that how could you ask such a question? Meaning, as Rashi explains, they assumed that they assumed that he was saying you don't deserve to live so long, meaning that he was upset that he lived so long, that he didn't think that he was worthy of it. So no, he wasn't trying to say that I don't think you should be alive anymore. He was just asking for Eitzah, like, well, what are the mitzvahs that I should be focusing on? So Salik Yosef HaReshit Dikla, so he was running away from these shamashim of Rabbi Nechunya Gadol, and Rabbi Kiva went up to the top of a palm tree to hide from them. So I'm like, Rebbe, im nomar keves, loma nomar echad. If it says keves, why does it have to say echad? Keves is already singular. So he has a kasha in learning. So I'm like, so Rebbe Chunya Gadol said, Tzumri ad Rabbanim, hu shavku, ooh, he's a Talmud Chacham, leave him alone. He's obviously not he's obviously not after my life. He just wants to know how to behave. So I'm like, echad miyuchad shebe edro. He said, echad means the miyuchad shebe edro, that you don't just take a sheep, you take the best sheep, the finest sheep. I'm like, miyamilu kavalti miyotanus, but as far as your original question of what I did to Farichus Yam, I never accepted matanos. I never was stubborn and unforgiving. And vatran b'moni, you see, I was generous with my money. This was a similar anhaga to what Rabbi Lazar used to do. That when they would send him matanos from the Beis Hanasi, he wouldn't accept them. When they would invite him, he wouldn't go. He would say, "What? You don't want me to live? It says Soni Matanos Yichya, and I'd like to live, so I'm not going to accept any Matanos. In Yam Shel Shlomo, in the third paragraph of Chulin, he points out that the poskim all left this out of halacha. The poskim don't quote out. There's no halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Rambam that Soni Matanos Yichya, that you're not allowed to accept gifts. But you see that there's such a anhaga because of a pasuk. So he says no, because it's not really a chiyuv. It's Misha Rotzeh LaHakbid Yakbid, and someone doesn't want to be makbid doesn't have to be makbid. It doesn't say in Oiv Matanos is Yamus. It means that a skula for every chizyamim is to be a Soni Matanos, but not that you're going to die if you're not a Soni Matanos. The Chasam Sofer in his Chidush Manchulin Daf Mem Dalin says that it doesn't say someone who's not mekabel Matanos Yechia. It says someone who's Soni Matanos is Yechia. He says a lot of times people have to be mekabel Matanos. The halacha is that they have to be mekabel Matanos. They're going to die otherwise. They're not going to be able to support themselves. So it doesn't say that someone who's mekabel Matanos Yechia. It says someone who's Soni Matanos Yechia. And the Chasam Sofer writes about himself. He says Vegamani Choshud LaOsadavar to take from the tzibur, that I also sometimes from time to time have to take from the tzibur in order to be able to support myself. Rabbi Zeru Kav Mishad Leim Bein Asiya, when Rabbi Zeru was sent a gift from the Bein Asiya, Lava Shakal, he wouldn't accept it, but Kav Mizamni Leim, but when they would invite him over, Azal, he would go. Amar Isyakuri de Misyakribi, he said, because it's an honor for them, meaning they like to show that they're hosting the chief rabbi, that's an honor for them that I come to their house. So it's not a matana for me, it's a matana for them. V'lo Mati Al Midosai, that I didn't, I was forgiving. Amar Rav Kal Mavir Al Midosai, Mavir Menu Kol B'Shav. If someone is forgiving to others, HaKadosh Baruch will be forgiving to him. Shemar Nosi Avon Vavar Al Pesha, Lemi Nosi Avon, whose sins will HaKadosh Baruch bear the burden of? Lemi Shavar Al Pesha, for someone who's forgiving about the Pesha'im that were committed against him. And then a sixth Tana, Shal Rabbi Yis Rabbi Yeshua Ben Korcha, Bamei Arach the Yamim, Amalei Katz the B'chai, why, you have a problem with me living long? Amalei Rabbi Tari, Yivil Marani Tzarech, I have no problem with you living long, I just want to know how to do it myself. Amalei Miyamim Lan Stakalti B'dmos Adam Rasha, first thing is I never looked at the face of an Adam Rasha. Tamar Rabbi Yochanan Rasul Adam Lestakal B'tzalim D'mos Adam Rasha, because you're not allowed to look at a Rasha Shnemar Lulu B'nei Yoshafat Melech Yehuda Ani Nosei Yema B'tei Lecha V'imarecha, that if I didn't like Yehoshafat I wouldn't have looked at Yehoram, because you're not supposed to look at a Rasha. Blazer Amar Inof Chaos, that his eyes were dimmed from looking at a Rasha. If a person's eyes become dimmed, his eyesight goes from looking at a Rasha. Shnemar Ve'iki Zakan Yitzchak V'atechehena Inof Miros, Yitzchak went blind when he got older. Why? Mishum Distakal Beis of a Rasha, because he was Mistakal at Eis of a Rasha. V'hagar Malay, is that why Yitzchak went blind? Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak tell us that the reason the klala of a hediot should be taken seriously is Shari Avimelech kilu lasar v'neskayim bezara, because Avimelech cursed Sarah and it was mekuyam in her offspring. Shnemar hinei hulucha ksus einayim, al tikri ksus einayim el ksias einayim, that ksias einayim, that you're not going to be able to see well. So it didn't happen with Sarah herself, but it happened with Yitzchak because the curse of a hediot made a difference. It's interesting to call Avimelech a hediot. A melech is the opposite of a hediot, but a hediot in a certain sense. So it's ksias einayim. So you see that it wasn't on account of looking at Esav, it was on account of the curse of Avimelech. And Sigmar, Hava Hagar Malay, both were a cause of Yitzchak's loss of sight. Rav Mehacha from the following, says Pnei Rasha, Lo Tov. B'shas Piti Rasha, Amalei Rabbi Bercheni. When he was dying, he said, give me your bracha. Amalei Rasha Shatagia Lechatzi Yama. You should live half as long as I lived. Ulukulu Lo, half as long as you lived. I would love to live fully as long as you live. Why wouldn't you give me a bracha that I live a very long life like you did? Amalei Lo, Habay Macharecha Behema Yiru. What do you want your children to be? A bunch of shepherds? Meaning, very often, if the father lives a very long time, the children never get to shine, because they're just always their father's children for their whole lives. And by the time the father dies, the kids are already in their 80s, so then it's too late for them to accomplish anything. So that's why he said it's good for you to get out of the way a little bit, so that your children can shine. Avu bar'i, minyam bar'i, chad amar tesi li dostakli b'kuti. One said, give me credit, because I never looked at, I was never mistakel at a kuti. V'chad amar tesi li dostakli shutfus b'adi kuti, that I never even made a shutfus together, a business partnership with a kuti. And Tosis points out, afilu b'inyan she'enu yachalav l'dei shvua, even if it wasn't going to come to a chi of shvua, which would normally be the problem, that there would be a chi of shvua, and then he would take a shvua by a shema v'adazara or something. So he said, no, I didn't even do that. I didn't get involved at all with the kuti. And then the final one, Shal Tamidim Shrabi Zera. They asked Shrabi Zera, Bamei Arach Yamin. Amalei Ami Yamei Lo Kepadti B'toch Besi. I never got upset when I was in my house. I was very patient when I was in my house. Someone just told me yesterday that Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, Zichrono Levracha, when he was making a bar mitzvah for one of his children, they were eating in one place and they were davening somewhere else. I forgot what the story was exactly, but the three colored gefilte fish or whatever was left in the wrong place and they didn't have it for the meal, and his wife was very upset. And Rabbi Tversky said to her, in a few years we're going to laugh about this, right? This is going to be a funny story that we're going to laugh about. She said, yeah. He's like, so why don't we just laugh about it now? So they, you know, it sort of settled the situation. So velotzadti b'fnei misha gadol b'meni, and I didn't walk in front of someone who was greater than I. Velorharti b'mavuos hametinafos, and I didn't think divrei Torah in dirty alleyways. Velalachti dal ramos b'lo Torah b'lo tefillin. I didn't go dal ramos without Torah and without tefillin, which makes the previous hanhaga all the more impressive, that he didn't think divrei Torah when he was mavuos hametinafos. If you're constantly thinking and learning, it's hard to not do that. I also don't think divrei Torah mavuos hametinafos. In fact, I'm extra makbir. I don't think divrei Torah anywhere. So no, but that he's always thinking in divrei Torah. He doesn't go dal ramos without Torah, and then he manages to control it and to shut the valve, you know, when it comes to mavuos hametinafos. That's the godless of that hanaga. I never slept in the base medrash. Lo shenis keva, lo shenis harai. Not a shenis keva, nor a shenis harai. Lo sasti b'tikalas chaveri. I never took pride or joy in someone else's downfall. Lo karasi l'chaveri b'chanichaso, or b'chanichaso, or v'amrila b'chanichaso. I never called anybody else by any sort of nickname. Okay, new Mishnah now. Va'odam Rabbi do a base haknas shecharav ein maspidu b'tocho. Even a base haknas that's no longer around, the base haknas has been destroyed, you're not allowed to be maspid in the base haknas. A funny way for a Mishnah to start. Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda. If you look at Tosfos, Kasha, my va'od, Dala Elav, and Mekel Tfeimich Chamim. Previously, he was more Mekel than the Chamim. Vahach, who Machmir, over here, he's more Machmir than the Chamim. So if him came, my va'od, va'od would imply that it's building off of something that we said previously. And this is going against what we said previously. This is not at all building off of it. V'yeshlomer to Kaya, Hadam Rabbi Yehuda Beresha, Mokronos L'Shem Chatzar, V'davka L'Shem Chatzar, Karmel V'stam, Eini Yeredus Mikdushasa. He says that, no, va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that even when the Beis HaKnesses is Charav, then it still retains some level of Kedusha. Even though Rabbi Yehuda told us that if you sell it, you could sell it L'Shem Chatzar, and then whoever buys it, it's just a plot of land. They'll do whatever they want on it. But that's only when you sell it L'Shem Chatzar. Ha'inu va'od, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Klomar, va'od Chumra Acheres, Mavada Rishona, another Chumra that only if it's L'Shem Chatzar, but Stam, it wouldn't lose its Kedusha, that also a Beis HaKnesses Shecharav doesn't lose its Kedusha. Another Chumra, they're not allowed to be maspid in it, you're not allowed to twine rope, you know, you're not allowed to twist rope to make in a base of Knesset. Vein parcel the Tokha Matsudos, you're not allowed to put traps in the base of Knesset. Vein Shotkan al Gago Paris, you're not allowed to spread fruits to dry on the roof. Vein also knows a carpentaria, you're not allowed to make it a shortcut. Shnemar of Shmosis Mkdashechem Kedushasan Avchen Shomin, that they retain their Kedusha even when they're Shomin, even when they're destroyed. Aluba Asavim, if it grew grass, if it's overgrown with grass, Lo Yithos, then don't cut the grass. Agmas Nefesh, because of Agmas Nefesh, meaning Beis HaKnes Shecharav, people should look at it and see the Agmas Nefesh. In fact, there's a tshuva I've got Shari Tzion is the name of the tshuva set. I think he has three volumes ready of Rabbi Rabinovich, the Rav of the Kotel, where he discusses whether the grass growing out of the walls of the Kotel have Kedusha, and whether they what they should do when they cut the grass. So in the tshuva, in his tshuvas, he just sends Shailas, I mean, in addition to his own tshuvas, he sends Shailas to a number of the poskim, to the leading poskim of the generation, and he prints their tshuvas. So I forgot which one. One of the Gedolei poskim said, don't cut the grass. Leave the grass. It's Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. Your dafka is supposed to, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So even a Beis HaKnesses, it's Charav, you're supposed to leave the grass, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. So they should leave the grass growing out of the walls, so it should look like it's in a state of Khorban, and that should cause a sense of Agmas Nefesh. Problem is, while it's the Beis HaMikdash that's destroyed, it's also an active Beis HaKnesses, right? The din of the Kotel Plaza has a din of a Beis HaKnesses. So, on the one hand, you have to, you're sensitive to the Agmas Nefesh. On the other hand, you have to show the kavod of a current Beis HaKnesses. So that's what they have to sort of figure out. That's the delicate balance. Tan Rabban, Batei Knesios, Ein Nogin Ben Kalos Rosh. Batei Knesios, you're not allowed to have Kalos Rosh in them. Ein Ochlin Ben, you don't eat in them. Ein Shosin Ben, you don't drink in them. If you look in the bottom Tosfos, it says, Vadam Reish Arvei Pesachim, the Orchon Ochlin V'Shosin Be'Knishter Rotz Lomer B'Chedar Smuch Le'Beis HaKnesses. That the Gemara in the 10th Perek of Pesachim says that it was very common for guests to eat and drink in the shul. That's why they made Kiddush in shul. That's where the minute comes from. If it was for the guests who would stay in the shul and eat and drink, so he says, it must be that was in the Kiddush room. That was in the Simcha room. That wasn't in the actual Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis Beis HaKnesses, they didn't eat and drink. Vein they ilsen behem, and they shouldn't be miskashet in the Beis HaKnesses, just to stam hang out. Vein metailin behem, you don't just spazier in the Beis HaKnesses. Vein nechnasim behem, v'cham b'nei acham, v'cham b'nei acham. You don't go in there in the summertime to protect you from the sun, and in the wintertime to protect you from the rain. Vein masfin behem hespid shal yachid. They don't say a hespid of an individual in there. Aval korin behem, v'shon behem, masfin behem hespid shal rabim. But you're allowed to learn Mikra, and you're allowed to learn Mishnah in there, and you could say a hespid shal rabim in there. So I'm Rabbi there, imasai bi yeshuvan. That's all bi yeshuvan. Aval b'chorbanan, manichro sova'olin ben asam le'yitlosh m'nei agmas nefesh. That all of this cover that you showed to it is only bi yeshuvan, but when the Beis HaKnesses is destroyed, then you allow grass to grow there, and you do not send a gardener to cut the grass because of agmas nefesh. Says Mar Asavim and the Karshmai. Who said anything about Asavim? How did that fit into the rest of the sentence? So Chesur Mechzer Vachkatan. Now this is the way it's supposed to be read. Umechabdin Asan, Umar Beitz Asan, Kadesh Layel Ben Asavim. You should sweep it, and you should clean it, and you should cut the grass, and you should make sure that it looks nice because you don't want it to grow to be overgrown. Amar Rav Yehuda Emasai Bi Yishuvan. That's only while it's being used. Avol B'chabanan, when it's already destroyed. Manichlos Alalos. Then you do the opposite. You let it overgrow. Alu Ben Asam Lo Yitlosh. And if it overgrew with weeds or grass, don't pull it out with Agmas Nefesh, because you're trying to create a sense of Agmas Nefesh. Amar Rav Asi Batek Nisil Bavel Al Tanai Hein Asuyin. All Batek Nisil and Bavel are built on a Tanai. Their Kedusha is Al Tanai. V'Afal Pikein Ein Nogin Ben Kalus Rosh. And even though it's Al Tanai, we still are not knowing Kalus Rosh. What is the nature of this Tanai? So Tosus has a very important comment. Tosus says Rotzalomar Kolzman Shein Betalin. Al Tanai means when they're not still in use, the Kedusha goes away. That's the Tanai, that the Kedusha shouldn't be there when people aren't using the Beis HaKnesses, when the Beis HaKnesses is no longer, you know, the whole neighborhood changed and all the front people moved out of it. That's what it means, Al Tanai Ein Asuyin. The Beis HaKnesses is not being used as a shul anymore. He says, because we're going to see that people don't, when they had Batik and the Seals in Bavel, the Amoraim wouldn't go in the rain to protect themselves from the rain. Aye, but Al Tanai Ein Asuyin, why can't they go in the rain? Elamai, it's not Al Tanai Ein Asuyin for while it's being used, it's Al Tanai Ein Asuyin for after it's no longer being used. So that's the Yisod that Tosos says. And the second Tosos, Aval Pekin Ein Nogin Bekalas Rosh, Pirush Bibinyana, Shari Burchabana, Shari. When it's still around, you're not Noe Kalas Rosh. Once it's destroyed, you're allowed to be Noe Kalas Rosh. Shari Bekalani, all these things you're allowed to do. Vitzra Klashmina, Mishum Tzakot Eil Kamin, Davka Achil Vishtia, Davka Kalas Rosh Bi Yosu, Da Asr. What's the chiddush that while it's bibinyana, you're not allowed to do kalas rosh? Because I would have thought that it's only real kalas rosh, like eating and drinking, which is excessive kalas rosh. Aval cheshbonos, but other types of cheshbonos and things like that that aren't such severe kalas rosh, I would think you're allowed to do even bibinyana. So that's why it has to tell me that ein nogin ben kalas rosh. So back in the Gemara, my nihu, and what is the definition of kalas rosh? Cheshbonos, they're doing different calculations of different needs. Cheshbonos shel mitzvah is you're probably allowed to do, but stam cheshbonos. So Amar Ravasi, Beis HaKnesses, Mechashmo Cheshbonos, Malin Bo Asameis. Beis HaKnesses, where they make Cheshbonos, they should leave a mace unburied overnight. Malin Asalkadai, what, you're supposed to do that L'Chadchila? What are you talking about? That's a thing? That's a halacha they should do? So Lo Sagi De Lavachi, Elo Losov Sheyulin Bo Beis Mitzvah. No, it's a curse. It's saying that if you make Cheshbonos in the Beis HaKnesses, ultimately they're going to have a mace mitzvah that's going to go unburied, that they're going to have to leave them in the Beis HaKnesses overnight. Vein Neosin Behen, Amar Rav Chacham Tamidim Lutarin. Chacham and Talmidim are allowed to be miskashet in a Beis HaKnesses. Some Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my Bei Rabbanan, Beis HaDrabbanan. Why is the Beis Medrash called the Bei Rabbanan? Because it's the bias of the Rabbanan. They could treat it like their house. The Ran is Mochiach from this Gemara. My Bei Rabbanan, Beis HaDrabbanan, that it's Dafka Beis HaMedrash that the Chacham and Talmidim are allowed to be miskashet in. But a Beis HaKnesses is not really the house of the Rabbanan, and therefore it's Asur L'Sna'os in a Beis HaKnesses. And that's why they didn't want to go into the Beis HaKnesses when it rained outside. But for the fact that Shmaitza Bayit Silusa, that in order to think and learning, they need to have clarity. But otherwise, they wouldn't have gone in just to protect themselves from the rain, because the Beis Medrash, they're allowed to do that too, but not the Beis HaKnesses, says the Ran, and that's what the Rambam Paskins in the 11th Parak of Hilchos Tefillah as well, that it's that even Beis Medrash and Beis HaKnesses, the Chum are allowed to, that is not how the Rambam Paskins. The Rambam disagrees. Rambam says Beis HaKnesses, Beis Medrash are the same in this regard, that Tamid Chumim have the exception of Beis Medrash. they also have exception of Beis HaKnesses. And the svara is that Beis HaMedrash is a higher level of Kedusha than Beis HaKnesses. So if we're going to be Mekel for a Beis HaMedrash, then we got to be Mekel for a Beis HaKnesses as well. They shouldn't go in to protect themselves from the sun or from the rain. Ravina Ravad Bar Masa were asking Shaila in learning from Rava. So started to rain, so they went into the shul. The fact that we went into the shul is not because we're afraid of getting wet. It's because you need clarity in your learning, and we, in order to aid in our learning, we had to have clarity. We couldn't be distracted by the rain. So that's what, like the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, whether it's better to learn in the sukkah or outside of the sukkah. So the Gemara says it depends. If you really need to think, then you need where you can focus better. 2 days in Rishonim, where's the place that you could, where you're assumed to focus better? In the sukkah where you have fresh air, or outside of the sukkah where you have more of a climate control. So let's say you need to call someone out of the shul. What do you do? Can you just walk in to get him? If you're a tzumer rabbanu, when you go into the shul to get the fellow, stop and say a halacha. And if you know how to learn Mishnah, so say a Mishnah. And if you know how to read a pasuk, lema psuka, say a pasuk. I mean, you shouldn't go be a reikonis into the Beis HaKnesses. You don't go to and not do anything of Kedusha. You say a little bit of Torah. And if you don't even know how to say a pasuk, so go over to a child and ask him what pasuk he just learned. Inami nishi portavinekum, or at least sit there for a little bit and bask in the Kedusha, and then get up and leave. But you don't just walk in to get somebody. That's disrespectful for Beis HaKnesses. Must be the man hesped shel rabin. And we're maspid hesped shel rabim. Hechidam yaspid rabim. What does it mean, a hesped of a rabim that you're allowed to do in the shul? So machvi rav chista kigon hesped to dukai bei rav sheshes. Like the hesped that they had by rav sheshes. Machvi rav sheshes kigon hesped to dukai bei rav chista. And rav sheshes say like the hesped they would have for rav chista. Rav from maspid de l'kalasim bei knishta. Rav from gave a hesped for his daughter-in-law in the Beis HaKnesses. Sam mishum yakra didi udemisa asu kuli alma. Whether it be for my covenant or for her covenant, it's going to be a large crowd, and therefore we need a big room. We need a Beis HaKnesses. Rabbi Zeira sapte lume rabban beknesh. Rabbi Zeira was maspid a certain rabbi in the Beis HaKnesses. Amr imishum yakar di, imishum yakar di day, demesa asu kuli alma. Either because of my covenant, because of his covenant, either to hear my hesped, or because people want to be mechabedim, it's going to be a large crowd. Reish lakish sapte lutsam rabban de shkiach parad Yisrael, davetani hilchsa bechavtal shurta. Reish lakish gave a hesped for a certain Talmud Chacham that used to say Mishnah Shirim in Eretz Yisrael to 24 rows of Talmidim. Amr vaychas. And he said, wow, Eretz Yisrael lost such a Gav Rabba. There was a person who used to know this, the Halachos and Sifra and Sifri and Tosefta, and he died. So they said to Rav Nachman, can you say Hesped? What am I supposed to say? That a bag of books died? Meaning he's someone who knows all the Svarim, but he doesn't know how to interpret any of them. And you have to know how to interpret things. I don't know what I'm supposed to say about him. So Tachazi, Mabi and Takif. Look at the difference in attitude. Now, one of them said, wow, look at the Gavra Rabba had passed away, and that's the Takife de Bavel. But that's the Takife Dar de Yisrael. And the Chaside de Bavel, even in the Chasidim in Bavel, speak in such a not nice way that he said, well, he's just a bag of books that had passed away. Okay, well, Bez Hashem will pick up with Tanan Hassam next time. Okay. Have a great day. Oh, yeah.
Scott, thank you. Have a great day.
Good day, everyone.
Scott.